Thank you, Bodie. I always love it because we do parent commissioning every Mother's Day and we put moms up in front of stage and we're like, hold your whole family together while everybody watches you. Happy Mother's Day to you. So you guys did it. It was awesome. I love the chaos. We love that. Many of you guys know such a bittersweet moment in the history of our church. After 15 years, and one of our founding pastors, Jim, and the Moss family will be transitioning off this summer. Honestly, we always knew this day was coming. We just didn't know who would be first.
Yeah, I always thought it was going to be you,
I did too, yeah. And let me say this. This was a special couple weeks for us because, you know, just to kind of stop and not only celebrate but look back on what God has done over the last 15 years since we started the church, just a small group of us in one home back in 2009, and to see what God's done. But also, we've always recognized that you don't get to watch great transition done very well in your life. Did you know that? A lot of people transition very poorly. And we hate that. And we always said, one of us is going to transition first. And when it does happen, we're going to do it the right way. And part of that is honoring one another and just the way that you handle things. And there doesn't always have to be a ripping away. We know sometimes transitions are difficult. We know sometimes you can't control the outcomes. But what does it look like to see it done well, right? And we always wanted to model that. And let me just give you a few details real quick before we jump into this. We're going to take this week and next week. This week is going to be just a time for me and Jim to kind of talk about what God has done over these last 15 years. But next week is going to be much more of a time to honor, to pray over the family, to celebrate. We have some gifts for them. Then also there will be a come and go reception next Sunday after second service from 12:30 to 2. So you're welcome to stop by in the lobby. We'll have some things for them if you want to tell them goodbye, whatever you want to do there. But we'll have that time to honor them. We're also going to put this QR code up on the screen over the next few weeks. If you have a story, a prayer, something you want to share with them, instead of passing one book around and you waiting an hour to sign it, this is your way to tell the Moss family what they mean to you. And so maybe this is a way that Jim or the family has impacted your life. Maybe you just want to bless them in this next season as they're moving to the Dallas-Fort Worth area and taking this next step of faith. Man, we would love for you to write that. We'll be printing all of these off for them, putting it in the memory book that we've created, and so they will have these with them. And just because so many people in the room may not be up to speed, would you just start with the big picture, what God has been doing in your life, kind of with this next step that you're taking?
Easy question.
Yeah.
So last summer, every 7 years, we give a sabbatical to our full-time staff, and so this was my second one that I had taken, and God honestly just caught us by surprise as we were praying and pursuing Him. And I think my first day of sabbatical was June 1st, and by June 3rd, I knew, I was like, uh-oh, things are like dramatically changing. But what happened is I did a prayer retreat to kick off the sabbatical, and then I went and spent 3 days with some of my closest friends down in Mansfield, Texas, which is actually where we're going to be moving to. And while I was there, several things happened. I just had a overwhelming moment of gratitude that I literally just could not control myself emotionally, really just every facet of my life. And I even called my wife and I was like, I need you to pray, because we're getting ready to go golfing and I'm locked in one of my closest friends' like office bathroom and I'm like a mess. And so I was able to see, because we're getting ready to go golfing, I was like, I can't show up looking like this, you know, this is bad. But after that, I began to walk around. It's called Creekwood Church, is in Mansfield, and they have just a beautiful property, 108 acres, and kind of sits on a large pond where their church is. But God began to speak to me and just give me a desire for a new place, which was right there. And so I'm like, okay, what does that mean? As we all begin to ask those questions of, I knew that I didn't want to work there. I was extra bummed that I was going to be moving to Dallas from Tulsa. I mean, unbelievable that I'm even admitting that.
Yeah.
I had no idea that was going to be a part of my story. But we came home, and I began to share this with Tab, and so as she has often done, I'm a slow learner, and she was like, yeah, I know. I've known this for 10 years that we were moving to Dallas and going to be a part of Creekwood, and I was like, what?
Just waiting for you to catch up.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Just a decade late. Sorry, babe. Happy Mother's Day, too. I love you. But so we began to process that and just like, what are we to do? And so 10 years ago, I launched a coaching business. I grew up in a business-minded home, and my dad was an entrepreneur. And so I started my first business when I was 15 years old. And so that's just always kind of been my story and narrative. I've had something on the side. And so I've been coaching entrepreneurs and executives for a decade now. In the last couple of years, that business has just continued to grow. And we've been paying attention to that and watching it. And it's been very part-time, doing it one day a week. And we just really sense that now is the time to launch that full-time. And I know, like, some of you are like, why in the world are you moving to Dallas and launching your coaching business? That doesn't make sense. But we have actually a really large community there that we're very connected to. Creekwood Church, some of our closest friends, and I've spoken there multiple times. And so the beauty of our transition is we already know our community that we're going to be a part of, whereas in most transitions, you move to a place and try to figure out what your community is going to look like. So yeah. We're excited about that. And so,
beautiful.
Yeah.
So kind of on that same note, you're obviously going to be moving into what's next, but 15, 16 years ago, four families moved to Tulsa, Oklahoma. If we told you the story of how City Church started, you'd probably all walk out of this room thinking we were crazy because it was a mess. It was one of those stories of like God was orchestrating things, but it was really messy and how we all got here. But there was four families, me and you, two other individuals and families. And I want to talk about maybe just those early years, even before we launched the church, moving here, kind of the highs and lows. There were just these, I mean, so painful moments, and yet there were like miraculous moments. Have you ever been in that place in life? You're just like, it's beautiful and horrible at the same time. And it kind of describes a little bit of that early days. Just talk about maybe how you saw both God's faithfulness and just also just the challenges in those early days of starting this.
Yeah. One, it is really difficult to start a church. it's really difficult to start a business.
Yep.
And man, there were so many just difficult moments of, we had monthly gatherings and there would be some of those that like nobody showed up and Matt and I were like, what in the world are we doing? Why have we done this? Goodness, I'm trying to think of all the things of the difficulty that we went through. It was painful, but it was like one of the most painful moments of our lives, but almost one of the most beautiful moments of our life. We launched in, I think, late January of 2010, and there was at 10 inches of snow on Friday?
You know what happens in Tulsa when you get half inch of snow, right? Can you imagine getting 10, and then you're about to start your church, which you've been marketing for like 3 or 4 months? It was a great time.
So obviously, we were devastated, Matt and I, and we launched at the Tulsa Ballet just right up the street. So I remember, we were there one afternoon, really the whole day, just shoveling snow, hoping that anybody would come. And the beauty of what happened is, I think it was 178 people showed up.
Which we were
that first Sunday.
Astounded. Yeah.
But here's the really neat thing that happened is zero of those people were well-wishers. And what I mean by that is none of our family was there. None of our friends were there. Why? Because they couldn't get there. The roads were so bad. And it ended up being a huge blessing for us because week two, 78% of those 178 people came back, which is just really unheard of. And so we had critical mass from the very beginning. And so it was just a huge blessing in the midst of frustration, devastation as well. So
yeah.
Uncertainty.
So obviously year one, you have a pretty major life event that happens that some people in the room know about, some don't. And talk about maybe what happened that first year, but also from my perspective, that was a moment where our church became family.
Yeah.
That was a rallying point. How we watched people that we were still getting to know. Like they've only been a part of our church 6 months, and to watch them kind of become family through this horrible situation. Yeah.
Yeah, Tabby is not my first wife. I was married to another woman when we started City Church, and she decided she no longer wanted to be married to me, had another relationship that she was pursuing with another man, and I found out, I think, in October of, 2010, and obviously it was just devastating. Of you had launched something so beautiful and so difficult to do, and then, 10 months later, you find out that the person that you love the most on the planet no longer wants to be in relationship with you. And I remember when I found out, I went over to Matt's house, and I think Jax, I always remember this, Jax was like had just been born.
He was like 3 months old.
I came to your back door.
Yeah.
And I looked through the window, and he was crawling on the floor or something. And I always remember that. And then Matt and I just went and set out in my car, and just honestly, I think we just cried for a couple hours of what in the world is going on? What do we do? But God was so faithful. And I know that you talked about of just the moment that we became a church. Several months later, Amy and I got divorced in March of that following year. But I remember sitting on stage and just sharing my story. And the reality is every one of us have brokenness and have gone to hell and back, literally. But God is so faithful. And the things that happen for me is just this incredible empathy and compassion for people that God birthed out of that, out of the ashes, and never dreamed of the relationship that I have now with my wife, Tabby, and my first wife and I, we didn't have any children. And now I have three incredible sons, and I never imagined that. My first wife and I actually, we didn't want to have kids. And so, but having the blessing of being a father and all that has just been, I can't even describe it, how good it is. Yeah.
Yeah, we faced a lot of what I would call whiplash moments that first year. We had actually just come out of one, which we can't talk about because we want to honor and respect the people that were involved then, so we're not going to give the details on that one, but it was excruciating. And then this happens, and I just remember in that moment just being, can't believe this would happen, because his ex-wife at that time had kind of just stood up in front of our team and be like, we have to protect our marriages because the enemy's going to be coming after us. And just experiencing that. And then we never saw her again. I mean, packed things up, moved. Like, I was never able to meet with her. There was no reconciliation. It was like, no, I'm going to go live this life. And so I remember you took some time to kind of step away. We just said, hey, go and recover, right? I mean, that's a major thing. And then I remember that Sunday morning where Jim was on stage and he was sharing just out of his brokenness. What was so amazing about our church family is, like, that was the moment we became family, because everybody just rallied around. It's almost like because of Jim's brokenness, people are like, I can share my brokenness. Oh, I'm struggling too, or I'm going through this. And then all of a sudden, people are coming forward. They're responding at the altar of just like, man, here's what I'm dealing with, right? And just even the overwhelming support and love that you received.
Yeah, and I would say even back then, I mean, I think the most embarrassing thing for me was just the reality of having to tell people that I went through a divorce. That was just really, really difficult and embarrassing. But it was my story, and so I had to eventually step into that and own that. And man, it's amazing how God has used that over the last 15 years. And I mean, I was at lunch with a guy this week that is going through a divorce, and I always tell men this when I get the opportunity to, is, not knowing their story, is I say this, is you need to fight for your wife, whether you're married or not, until God says stop. And I did. I fought for my ex-wife until the day that God released me from that, and I knew it. It happened in my driveway at my house in Jinx, and honestly, I had no desire to get remarried, but God had other plans, and I'm so grateful for that. So,
yeah. So 15 years is a long time in ministry in one place. Over the last 15 years, what God has done. As you look back, maybe talk about what are the things that God has most shaped in you over these 15 years, maybe reshaped spiritually as a pastor, as a leader, as a person. You know, I always get this question, even people ask me, if you could go back from when you started, what would you tell younger Jim? You should have seen younger Jim when we started the church was Iron Man. He was ultra marathon Iron Man Jim, so it was always like running some kind of race. Not that you don't do that now, but it's a little different.
Yeah, running the race of life. Yeah. Chasing three boys around, that keeps you in shape. Yeah, I think, man, just growing up in competitive sports and all these things of just always having a goal, I am a addicted achiever at my core. And over the last decade, that has just been something that God has been moving me kind of away from and out of is into this place of just abiding. What does it look like to really rest in him? To really go to him for every facet of your life of, you know, of like, what am I asking you to do? What am I leading you to do? And so just the posture of I have a goal and all that matters is getting to it. And man, in my 20s, I was in leadership, but I would say as I looked around, I was going so fast that I don't know that I had many followers. I walk fast, I talk fast, I move fast. It's like we achieved the goal fast, you know? And, but now, I mean, I walk a lot slower.
It's because you turned 50 in a few weeks.
It's true. That is true.
2 weeks.
But I think one of the most important things is just, it's not about, I'm so thankful for what has happened here and just the blessing of God's faithfulness of what this has turned into. But for me, it's not even about that. It's not about the achievement or anything. It's really just being present with people.
Yeah.
And really looking them in the eyes and listening. Before it was like, I've got 18 things on my to-do list and how do I shut down this conversation so I can get out of here? I was always thinking about that and I would stack meetings, you know, on the hour. And so it's like at 45 minutes, you're like, I got to get out of here because I got travel time and I'm going to be late for my next meeting. And now I just like, my life is so different. It's like, I don't do hour meetings. It's like the conversation actually starts at 45 minutes. You know, if you're like meeting with somebody in person. And so you just need longer than that. But yeah, just a slowing, honestly, has been the big thing.
Isn't that amazing? It's not that in your younger years, you know, you don't have any wisdom. But I think as you grow and as you get older and you just prioritize things. And, you know, in my 20s, I was so driven. And we started City Church when I was 24, almost 25. I was so young. So driven, and still am driven now. And my wife would say that I'm a much healthier Enneagram 3 today than I was back then because... Back in my 20s, it was accomplish at all costs.
Yeah.
And even if, you know, you kind of leave a wake in your way. And now even seeing in you and myself in this journey, it's just like, it stops being about what I need to accomplish and more about how do I help other people fulfill the call of God on their life, right? How do I give away now? Like I get, and I know this is your story, like I get more benefit from me when I see other people moving in their kingdom calling than it is, you know, 10, 20 years ago when I needed to achieve it or accomplish it. And that's such a beautiful place about legacy and, you know, just seeing how your future. And I know this next question would be impossible to fully do, but you obviously don't arrive at this place. And we're calling this whole 2 weeks Kingdom Legacy because one of the things that we're going to do and more even next week is look back on, man, all of the seeds of the gospel and the kingdom that you've planted that have grown over the last 15 years. But people have been a crucial part of your journey. You will not arrive at the place God has called you alone. You can't. We talk a lot about intentional community, not only bringing people into your life, but inviting them to a level of authenticity, being known. And over the years, obviously, you're not here today without significant people shaping you. I know you can't name everybody, and sometimes I even hesitate to ask this, but maybe talk about some of the people, the groups that were so significant in shaping your journey to where you are today.
Yeah, just, I mean, some people here at City Church I think of is, you know, Carl and Molly Myers. I don't know if they're in the room this morning, but they took me in the midst of that brokenness, and honestly, I think I was at their house every night for dinner, and we just kind of journeyed for a very long time. And so that was just huge of people that had gone through brokenness to be able to like walk me through that. And I remember Carl telling me one time, I think we were on a bike ride, and he said, you need to walk fully around this situation 360 degrees of how you're going to respond no matter what happens. And no matter how, you know, my ex-wife, the decisions that she makes or, you know, whatever. And even now, I mean, it's, if I were to ever run into her to like in this life, I know exactly how I'm going to treat her and respond to her because I've thought deeply about it. And Carl helped me with that.
Yeah.
Goodness, you have been huge in that as well. I think of, you know, just Ted and Joanne of how they've prayed so faithfully for this church and all of us. And man, what a gift that we have in them.
Yeah. Love you.
I have, I got introduced to a group of men outside of City Church year one. It's called the Journey Group. Some of you may be familiar with it, but it's all centered around John 15 and learning to abide in Christ. And a guy by the name of Rocky Fleming, who was a businessman in Arkansas, started it. And then Brian Craig kind of took it and kind of led the Tulsa branch of that for a number of years. But I think I ended up leading 9 of those over the years. And so there's just a lot of men that I got to disciple and lead, somewhere north of 100 men that we journeyed through. And that was, I mean, just hugely impactful of, I would say that I wasn't really discipled until like I was 35 years old when I joined a journey group. And, you know, if that hasn't been something that as part of your story, man, I would just say, man, don't wait. Find a group of men, find a group of women to journey with, to open up the Word of God, to talk about it, how it shapes you. The Journey Group has groups for women. I'm just like a commercial billboard up here. This morning,
but,
yeah, Matt and I both have what we call growth teams. And so, goodness, I've got, you know, multiple spiritual fathers, spiritual mentors, spiritual director. You know, many of you in the room know Dave Jewett. He has been instrumental in my life. Brad and Marty Sprague as well. You know, that first year, Brad invited me to be a part of Summit Trek, which was a coaching group that he had, executive coaching group. And, you know, we journeyed together for a couple years and just learning, I mean, so much from him.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so many people
so many
to
people.
Name.
Yeah. It is remarkable. And I know this is a little bit of our soapbox. And so if you're a regular here at City Church, you're like, here he goes again on his rant. But, man, you look at people in your life, men and women who love God and are passionate about God and have the kind of legacy that you want, and then you peel back the layers or the curtain of their life, you will see levels of intentional relationships and friendships. They have surrounded themselves with the right people that have so significantly shaped their journey, right? Not only does Jim do that well, but when people have asked me, I mean, over the last 3 months, I think that 42 of you just asked me in the lobby, hey, how are you doing? How are you gonna replace Jim, right? And the one thing that I think of is like, he disciples so many men and so many people. I'm like, I don't know how we're gonna disciple all the men, because if I ask a lot of you in the room to stand up, if Jim has had a significant impact in your life, like most of the men in the room would stand up, right? I mean, that's an incredible legacy and just a credible way to like, man, who am I investing in? Who's investing in me? Right, because you can't give what you don't have. So you can't just be pouring out. Somebody's got to be pouring in. But then who am I giving my life to? Like, who am I going after? Who am I helping, man, take that next step? I mean, that is a legacy worth living, amen? And that is a significant legacy. And that's going to be one of the things around here that honestly, I don't know how do you replace that? You know, you don't.
I want to add something there. I think every person... women do a little bit better job of having relationships than men, but I think every person in the room desires to have a deep relationship with another individual, you know, men with men, women with women. But the reality is, as Matt said, it doesn't just happen. You have to be intentional about inviting that person into your life. And so a couple of things that I would say to you is, if you don't have that person, hold that before the Lord. And what I mean by that is pray and ask God that he would show you who that is. And then don't wait. Invite them into your life. Make the ask of like, hey, what would it look like for us to get together? And if you so have the thought of that person is too busy, ask them anyway. Because here's the reality. If you think they're too busy and you ask them to meet, I guarantee you they're going to make time for you. So
yeah,
every time.
Yeah. And if you want Jim's cell phone number, it's 580. Go write this down. Make the ask. Just make it. Just do it.
I got some time now.
I do think that is, man, so incredibly important. And honestly, I think sometimes with the community and the people in our life, we always think that we can do that in the next or a different season of life. And we don't realize, like, that is the center of the bullseye. Like, that is the greatest blessing. When you can show up in a certain context and be fully known and fully loved, like no pretending. Like you and I walk into certain contexts and we're guarded. Like you put up certain level of guards. Like I don't walk up and onto the stage and tell you everything about my life because you'd probably walk out, right? And so you're appropriately vulnerable, but being in certain places where you can like drop that and you can be honest and real, like what are the greatest gifts you can give yourself, you can give your spouse? I mean, just how transformative those environments are. And then when you begin to put multiple of those levels of relationships in your life, your whole life begins to be different. And it wasn't even something you're trying to manufacture. It just happens because look at the people you're around. They're leading you towards Christ, right? I mean, just phenomenal how that works out. Maybe last thing for today. And then next Sunday, we're going to pick it up here again and then end with a time of just prayer and blessing and some other things that we're going to do next week. But I intentionally did this over 2 weeks because I didn't want to be in a hurry. I just thought this was a moment for our church family that we just needed to stop and do this because this is a significant moment. Just talk about, we've already touched on some of these, but core values. Core values are things that become foundational, like life lessons, things that you build your life upon, central to your life and leadership. I know you have a list of them. One of them you kind of already started talking about was abiding in Christ. One of them is just like kind of the five-star service idea, giving people in your life the best parts of you and not the leftovers, right? Talk about that.
Yeah, this was an exercise that I actually did with Brad Sprague, goodness, I don't know, 15 years ago, just writing out my values. And so one of those was five-star service. And really at the beginning of that is my idea was my wife is she is my number one customer and I need to treat her so. And, you know, a lot of times I think we are, especially as, you know, driven men, we're busy changing the world and then we come home and we're exhausted and it's like, yeah, whatever, you know. But it's like, I didn't want to do that. You know, I wanted to bring my best home and give that to her. And so that is very, very important. And then like you said, of just showing up well, being fully present, you know, not that I'm looking to get a review, that's not what this is about, but you know, being fully there, fully present for every conversation, every person that you meet with, because we just, I mean, it is, we live in a distracted society. You know, it's like all of us have different size screens that are pulling at our attention. And, you know, it's just the reality of it, mm-hmm. of like, what does that look like to shut that down? And when I was on sabbatical this summer, I turned off all notifications on my phone and or last year, and I have not turned them back on. And I'm gonna tell you right now, I'm living a beautiful life. Mm-hmm. Nobody dings me. And here's what I discovered is I'm already addicted to my phone. And so I'm going to look at it. You know, it's like I look at my email probably, you know, 18 times today just because, you know, it's like it's there. And but that's been really helpful just to be present with people and not you know, looking at the digital when I'm with people. So
yeah, beautiful. One of the things I want to do, and I asked Jim this, if kind of as we wrap up today, there's kind of a life, there's life messages that come out as you lead, as you pastor, and I want him to finish this morning with, honestly, a life message that he's preached here at City Church numerous times. And this is going to be, you know, Jim's going to come back to visit us, so it's not like forever, right? But in this role, in this season, this time, this is going to be the last time that Pastor Jim leads us to the table together. And so what I've asked him to do is kind of share from this life story. And it starts, you know, in the upper room with Jesus, where he blessed the bread. He blessed it, he broke it, and then he gave it. And I know that's become a life lesson for you. And what I'd love to do as we just kind of prepare our hearts to receive communion today, as we receive the table, just kind of lead us in prayer for this time, for Jim. Like I said, next Sunday, we're going to pick back up. Next Sunday is going to be a lot more of just honoring them, blessing them, praying over them, a celebratory time. But I wanted to take this time today to do this, because how many are grateful for 15 years of faithfulness to this church? Amen. Yeah. 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 Go ahead and remain standing, if you would, with me. I'm going to pray for us as we just prepare our hearts. Father, we thank you for this moment. God, we thank you for, just times of remembrance, to remember your goodness, your faithfulness. God, how you have been with us every step of the journey. Even bittersweet moments like this week and next week that we're celebrating, but also just also grieving and mourning, transition. But we're grateful. God, no better place to be than in the middle of your will in obedience. God, we thank you for Jim. We thank you for the Moss family and the thousands of seeds that have been planted for the gospel, for the kingdom. And God, we just prepare our hearts this morning to receive what you want for us. God, we come to your table with open arms, open hands, just ready to receive what you have. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Several years ago, I presented a question to the Lord, as I often do, and just kept asking it over and over for a couple of years. And the question was, God, what is the meaning of life? I know it's in your scripture. I want you to reveal it to me and show it to me. And as I often do, I'm just relentless in my asking. And so I just kept asking, kept pursuing. And it was a Friday night in my living room. We were living in Jinx at the time. And I remember I heard this word. I just felt the Holy Spirit speak real subtly and softly, as he often does. He just said, it's communion. And I was like, what are you talking about? It's like, go read it. And so I opened up the book of Matthew, and I just began to read through the process of communion, of what Jesus does with our lives. And it just hit me. I was like, oh my goodness, this is our life. These are all the stages that God takes us through over and over again. As Jesus picks up the bread, and he took it, and then he did something with it, as he blessed it. He broke it, and the reason why he broke that was to give it. And so here's the reality this morning: is every one of us are in one of these stages, if not multiple stages, of the communion process. Of God maybe taking you somewhere new. And what that looks like is a lot of uncertainty in your life. This is where Tabby and I are right now, as we have no idea if this is going to work or not. It is uncertain in every way. But we believe God has spoken to us and say, we're like, all right, God, we're gonna go. You take us where you wanna place us, this new place that you've given us a desire to be, these new people, and we're gonna trust you. This morning, you may be here and you're in a time of blessing, which is honestly so good, but often we don't feel worthy to receive it. And what I would say to you is just accept that. Receive the blessings that God has for you. That would be my prayer for you this morning, is just to receive the blessing that he has for you. Put yourself and posture yourself to receive whatever that looks like. And then we go through this stage of brokenness, which none of us want. And I would say this, don't ever pray for brokenness because it's coming. It's part of the process. As God wants to break you, why does he want to break you? To give you, to advance, to multiply the kingdom of God, to disciple others. We are called to go and make disciples. That's what the kingdom looks like. God wants to give you to touch another life, to touch another human, to touch another son or a daughter, to help them hear the good news of the gospel. And so this morning, as we come to the table, I want you just to think about where you are. Where does God have you? Are you being taken? Are you being blessed? Are you being broken? Are you being given? This morning, you may be here and maybe you've never taken Jesus as the Lord of your life. And I want to invite you to do that this morning when you come to the table, as you can take Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. You believe in him. And I'm so thankful that God sent his one and only Son just for me and you. That way we could have peace. That way we could have redemption and salvation that's found in and only through him. And so if that's you this morning, I wanna invite you to come to the table to receive communion, to take Jesus for the very first time in your life. Let me pray for you as our communion team comes to prepare the elements this morning. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness in our lives. And God, I pray that, God, we would just receive your mercy today. God, no matter where we may find ourselves, God, that your mercy would cover our lives, that it would cover our sin. And God, as we come to the table to receive your body and your blood, God, that we would remember who and whose we are in you. God, that we would take that, and God, we would go share your good news with someone this week. God, your love and your goodness, as you have called us to go, as we come this morning to recenter and reset our lives. And God, we honor you and we bless you this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You're welcome to come to the table this morning.